Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, this is terrible.
Happy anniversary.
Sing us a song. Sing us a song while I look for this. Here we go. Sing us a song, John.
Think of the song. What song? Which one?
Sing us a song. Oh, here it is. Okay, here we go.
It's the Late Show with Francie Weatherman.
Ah, my favorite.
Your way in the world today, take everything you've got. Taking a break from all your work sure would help a lot. Wouldn't you like to get away?
Yeah.
Nights when you've got no light, the check is in the mail.
It is a great song.
And your little angel hung the cat up by its tail. And your third fiance didn't show.
Sometimes you wanna go where everybody knows your name. And they're always glad you came. You wanna be where you troubles are all the same. You wanna be where everybody knows your name.
Roll out of bed, Mr. Coffee's dead. The morning's looking bright. And your shrink ran off to Europe and didn't even write. And your husband wants to be a girl.
Oh yeah.
Be glad there's one place in the world where everybody knows your name. And they're always glad you came. You wanna go where people know. People are all the same. You wanna go where everybody knows your name.
Episode here on Francie and Friends, and it's important for so many daggone reasons. We wanted to come back. Daggone it! I opened up Google Chrome, and I am just being. Do you hear the dings? Do you hear them? Look, I'm just getting pop-ups. Oh, this is terrible. Okay, maybe they stopped. Okay. Anyway, sorry about that, everybody. This is a very important show. A show that William, are you there?
Oh, yep, I'm here.
Awesome. And where's our little buddy, Tom Sawyer? Tom, you there? Tom? William, where's Tom? You're in charge of Tom. You guys are like
okay.
Buddies.
Don't worry. I got this, Francie. I got this. Tom, this is your conscience calling. Wake up, sunshine. Hold on, Tom. I think the dog's puking over by the couch.
Is that snoring?
Oh, hey, yeah, man. Hey, man, yeah, I'm here. Yeah, hey,
there we go. There he is.
Tom, were you
good
snoring?
Morning. Yeah, I think so. I had to get up to answer the radio anyways, you know.
Well, I mean, you know that age-old saying that the show must go on? Well, congratulations. You're on the air, and we have guests on lines 3 and 5 waiting for you.
Okay. All right, you know, I'm ready, you know. Hey, you know.
We're happy you're joining us, Tom.
Yeah, me too. Hey, glad to be here.
I know it's been a little while, and we're dusting the dust off of us, but, you know, we're definitely going to keep this ball rolling. And in fact, next week, I just had them up here. Hold on. I want to make sure I pronounce everything correctly. Hold on. Sorry, guys. William, you wanted to do some shout-outs.
Well, I do, but I'm gonna wait a few minutes because it ties into what our theme is for tonight, and we haven't told the audience yet.
Oh, yeah, okay. All right, well, let me just say, next week we do have Riffing on Horror. Not whore, horror.
Cool.
We're going to have Riffing on Horror. They're a bunch of talented individuals. They do podcasts also. They're on Apple. They are on Apple. They do their podcasts a little bit different than us. They video it. And I don't think nobody wants to see Tom when he just wakes up in the morning.
Yeah, I got a face for radio.
Yeah, so same here. You and me both. So.
Yeah,
nothing like middle-aged dad bod sitting at a chair with a coffee cup in our hand.
Yeah. Kids that were sitting at our times are probably sitting in their underwear on the radio too, and in a good sight.
Yeah.
You know, that's something that we never tried. We should do a broadcast in our underwear.
What do you mean try it? I've been doing it.
I knew you were going to say that. I knew that was going to be said. All right. Nicholas Grabowski will be joining us right now. It is trash day in the morning, and he doesn't want to forget to take the garbage out. So he's taking the garbage out of the road right now. And so what we're going to do, let me just say, hey, Shellis. Oh, we got a message. LOL, I bet lots of folks are doing it in their underwear. LOL, I agree, and I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it next week. Okay, but Nick's going to be joining us, and he's going to talk about, he did an interview recently, sorry, I was swallowing, with the Writing on Horror. He just did an interview with them, and it was a great interview. So that's going to be our guest next week. Looking forward to it. I've already talked to the guy. Very nice guy. Very outgoing. It's going to be a fun show. So we got that to look forward to. Also, we got to talk about the show tonight because I know we're always screwing everything up. We always do that. And tonight we're going to do something very serious. Recently, I mean, it's been a rough, a year and a half now with COVID and, you know, just not getting to see the people that you love and losing the people that you care so much about that you consider them family. So that's of the show tonight. Your DNA doesn't mean that that's your family. Well, it does, but, you know, it extends beyond your DNA.
Well, you can have friends that are family and family that are friends.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
So.
And we are inviting anybody who wants to call in and tell their story of grieving somebody that has touched their lives so much. We would love for you to call in and tell your stories. Okay? And
or even happy memories, too. Doesn't have to always be grieving.
That's true. Celebrate their lives.
Indeed.
Yes. So, William, did you want to talk about it now?
Yes, please.
Okay.
You not knock on wood. Fortunately, the people I'm going to be talking about are all still around, but we're all in. All of us are in different separate states. So, but I'm going to combine a lot of people into one block. So just bear with me, folks. But first
foremost, I'll go after you.
Oh yeah, sounds good. So, first and foremost, I have a group of friends that I've known since my days in public school, between middle school and high school. Among them are two closest ones named Lisa and Chris. And between all of us and our little group, we were all known as the Crazy Clan because we were the outcasts. And
I'm trying
to... Just so you have some ideas, in our good sense, in our good days and things, we used to pull practical jokes on the student body and the faculty because we didn't fit in with the yuppies that were in our school. And you could tell, if you were here in South Florida at the time, you would be able to tell whose car was whose because in a parking lot full of Maseratis, Lamborghinis, and Ferraris, you'd find a Toyota, a Volkswagen, and a Beetle.
I was going to say, don't tell me there was a Yugo in there.
Yes, there was even a Yugo.
I want one. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
And a Pinto.
I love Pintos.
You know, so...
Yeah, just make sure they have brake lights.
That's true. You know, so to say that we stood out among the others would be the understatement. But you know what I mean? You know, in the good days of our with our pranks and things like that, we used to do things like probably the best prime example is we used to order movie props in the back of Fangora magazine when they had Tom Savini's Prop House, and for a Halloween prank one year, we ordered some of the severed limbs, and we cut out the inside cavities of them and then went over to the local butcher shop and put actual meat in there and then wrapped everything up in foil, and then lunchtime the next day, sitting in the cafeteria, we're sitting there and we're just having a nice cannibalistic lunch, mortifying everybody else around us.
Oh, my.
And then, of course, it was. I mean, we did a lot of stupid things like that. And, of course, I was the one that chronicled everything. So, I collected all these journals of all the things that we did. And, then we look at the flip side of the coin, or even some of our darker points. We all faced everything where, came together to help the other person. So, we dealt with everything from bullying to addiction, suicide attempts, rape, things like that. So, needless to say, our group was very, very well close-knit, like our own little family for a lot of ways. And among them... among them, we had Lisa, who was kind of like the older sister slash mother figure, and she was full blooded redhead, but she was also Scotch Irish descent, and very short tempered. So she made sure to keep, understandably, she kept all of us in check and in line, and if we were to even deviate or stray, she would let us know really quickly.
Nice. It's always good to have that friend.
Indeed. Now, unfortunately, we go to the other side of the spectrum with Chris. Now, Chris was the one who was completely anti-authority and complete disestablishment to a point during the course of the school years, that he and I were always referred to as Doc and Wyatt, me being like Wyatt Earp and him being almost like Doc Holliday, because every single time that he ended up getting arrested for something or other, I was that one phone call that he would make. So, yeah, so I was one that would have to bail him out or help with the bail or, you know, attempt to help on reducing the charges and things like that.
Oh,
but
wow.
I mean, the flip side. Yeah. But, I mean, the flip side of the coin, you know, there was a point in one time where, you know, I dated an extremely psychotic woman who had ties to a gang in Miami. And when I called it off, she actually put my name on the blacklist. So I actually had gang members threatening my life.
Oh,
and,
wow.
Yeah, and it was Chris who actually came in and intervened and intercepted. And, you know, so, I mean, it's one of those things, you know, he had my back when I needed it. And so, you know, here we are almost 30 years later. And, you know, even now, you know, when we all said goodbye to each other at graduation, I was like, listen, you know, I've collected all these memories and stuff. And they're like, yeah, now's your chance, you know, go be the writer that we've known you to be. And I'm like, well, just so you're aware, the first book that comes out is going to be everything that we have done. And 10 years from now, I'm going to meet you at the reunion, and I'm going to look at your wife or your husband or your significant other, and I'm going to be like, hey, do you want to know what they were like back in that day? Page 4. And that's
nice.
Exactly what happened. And that's exactly what happened. My first book was The Confessions and True Accounts of the Crazy Clan. And ironically enough, they all anticipated it. Every single one of them. So, you know, they're like, great. So listen, do you still have all those photographs from all the other stuff? I'm like, yeah. They're like, good. When we go to the 20-year reunion, you need to have that one out next. So... fast forward to the 20th, I'm like, hey, I got that you know, released the photo album. They're like, good. Now we need to talk movie. And so that's where I get to say I'm very fortunate, because even though they gave me the deadline of trying to have something done by the 30th reunion, which hasn't come up yet, between that time frame, I've been fortunate enough to actually win representation. And I can very proudly say that my agent has presented a film adaptation for Crazy Clan to Netflix and Universal and a few of the other studios.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, we have pitched them. Oh. haven't heard anything yet, so it's that waiting period. But, you know, I can probably say that, hey, guess what? I'm keeping my word.
Oh.
Nice.
So, yeah. Now, you know, outside of Crazy Clan, you know, people know me because, you know, down here, because the fact of how small our town is in a lot of ways, you know, our bit of excitement on Friday nights is to hang out at the local donut shop. So, so these days you'll see us all sitting out front, and it's just myself and a whole bunch of other fellow writers, authors, and everything else. And, you know, among our group, I have, you know, someone who I call my little sister named Molly. And Molly has one of those attitudes where no matter how dark the day is, she's always the perpetual optimist. And, you know, I've told people that we could be on the highway to hell during the middle of the apocalypse, and she'll be the one turning to us on the bus and saying, okay, does everybody remember to bring their sunscreen and sunglasses? It's going to get kind of warm here in a couple minutes. You know, yeah, but I mean, but you know, she's got a heart of gold, and Yeah, so, I mean, so for starters, one of the things that we always joke about is, you know, everybody always, you know, will come by and, you know, at times they've asked about it too, because, you know, since I'm fairly tall and she's rather on the petite side, whenever she would come out and join us for coffee, she'd wind up sitting on my lap. And, you know, people would be like, well, you know, why would you do that? What's up with that part? I mean, you know, aren't you jealous? Is your boyfriend jealous? Blah, blah, blah. And, you know, it's just one of those things. It's just kind of the running joke of it all. But, you know, her favorite movie is Dirty Dancing. And so she one night looked at one of our friends and brought it up, and she was like, you should know by now, nobody puts baby in the corner. And, you know, and in her case, and I still have to admit, to this, I think I'm always going to wind up laughing the most about this whenever I think about it, but in 2005, we had Hurricane Wilma come through. It actually hit our town. And unfortunately, my place at the time actually was sitting in the middle of a nature reserve. And so my back door and my front door were both blocked off during the course of the storm. As we had two trees come down. So I was... you know, pretty much so stuck inside the house for about almost a week and a half. And, you know, the first couple of days after the storm passed, you know, I got a loud thumping at my front door. And, you know, I couldn't see who it is or anything like that. So I opened it up to try to peek through the bushes. And all of a sudden I see this little hand come poking through in between all the tree sap and everything. And I hear Molly going, hi, and she's waving her hand. It's like, I want to make sure you guys are doing okay, giving the okay sign. Do you want any food? I brought a whole bag over of lunch. I found some restaurants open. And...
wow. See, yeah. That's friends right there.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know, so, I mean...
Speaking of a friend, Nick, you're live.
There we go.
Oh, hey. Here I am.
Hey, Nick, how you doing?
Hey, Nick, how you going, man?
Good. Yeah, hey, folks, everybody. Yeah,
hey.
I'm just,
Go ahead.
Oh, nothing,
yeah.
just chilling. I'm actually at the pool, our little blow-up. Well, kind of, you know, one of those things outside.
No, okay.
I don't think
that's
that made any
pressing.
Sense. I'm actually at the pool outside.
Now, Nick,
I just don't
want to
make it sound like it's a big luxury pool, but it works. I had to actually put a big brown tarp over it because it was leaking last year to no end. And I kept putting tape all over it and everything, and I just could not get the leak. It would, like, spring up somewhere else. So I just said, okay, screw it. I'm just going to get an oversized tarp and just take out all the water and put it on the bottom and then fill it back up, and no leaks.
Or buy some flex seal or flex tape or whatever.
Well, yeah. But, yeah, well, it works. So
that's good.
Yeah.
One thing I would like to say, and this is another reason why we're doing this show. Recently, and Nick, I know you do still have a hard time talking about this, but recently Nick's mom did pass away on June the 1st. And I know I'm going to cry when I say this, and I'm hoping that I won't. But this is what this show is about. Doris was not just... She, 11 years, she's been a part of my life. And we've not like family, but we loved each other. We always hugged it out if we had a little argument. It's like, I'm sorry. No, I'm sorry. And we hugged it out. We're like, we love you. I love you. And we're just like, ah. She's really touched my life deeply. And so is your dad. You know, they welcomed me into their home. They welcomed me into their lives, and I'm very thankful for that. And they were there for me a lot. And towards the end, when your mom was not feeling well and I wasn't feeling well, she didn't concern herself and she didn't want to talk about what she was going through. She would see me in the morning and her first words to me was, "Well, good morning. How are you feeling today?" She always
My dad would always come up to you and say, "Hey, pal."
Hey, pal.
That reminds me of it. Hey, pal.
Hey, pal. And he was always, he was always so grateful whenever you walked into the room where he was sitting. And he's like, he just light up, "Hiya, pal." And he would just laugh. And, man, you give him chocolate, you're his best friend.
And my mom wouldn't let us give her any chocolate at first and everything because she was remembering everything her doctor told her. No food with spices and everything. And then when she slowly started losing her mind, she kept forgetting all of her rules. And she would insist, no, I can have a little chocolate. What's wrong with you? Give me some. Or spices. Oh, I don't care. I'd even, the last couple of years, I would, give her stuff with, a little jalapenos in it or something a little bit more spicy. Mm-hmm. Oh, that was good. It was a little spicy, but it was really good. Versus, 5 years ago, oh, it says spice in the ingredients. I can't have it.
Oh, I remember that.
Well,
that was torture.
Rules. She was a vitamin junkie. Her favorite outing almost every week was to go to a place called Elliot's, one town over, and it's a huge vitamin store. She'd love to go there. The cabinets were full of, all kinds of different vitamins and herbs, in pill form and just all kinds of things, and she had a pretty good knowledge of that. And then when she started losing her mind and stuff and forgetting, it's like, I don't remember that. What vitamins?
Yeah.
And I would have to be in charge of her vitamins, and I still even some of the extra stuff that she used to use, I just kept giving it to her anyway.
Yeah, in fact,
Yeah, that's good. She enjoyed life a little bit more.
Yeah.
In fact, William, you caught it when we were talking about the chocolate. You caught me and Nick had a misunderstanding. I thought Nick was going to make Doris's dinner. He thought I was going to make Doris's dinner. Nick came in, and it was Nick's Easter basket. He invaded it. And Nick said, She's out there eating my chocolate for dinner.
Yeah, she never would have done that, but she did. Yeah, I was going to get I was coming in to check on her and to, we were going to get dinner ready, and she was sitting there in the living room eating all of my Easter baskets.
Well, I came out to see her, and she's like, "What?" Just a little look like, "What did I do?"
But yeah, I was hungry. I didn't wait any longer.
I'll
admit though, Francie, you said it so deadpan. You know, it was almost like I was listening to the 6 o'clock news. You're like, "And my mother-in-law is eating Nick's Easter basket of chocolate." I think dinner is going to be coming soon, so. Maybe we can talk later on tonight, perhaps. After 11.
It looks like a news report.
Yeah,
sounds
I was
like a
on the phone.
Play by play game.
Yeah, I was on the phone with you, and Nick came in. You and I, we were having a cool conversation. Nick came in and goes, "What are you doing? My mom's out there eating. She just invaded the Easter basket. She's out there eating chocolate." And it was like we caught her with her hand in the cookie dish. And she's like, "What?" I was hungry.
She ate a huge, huge chocolate bunny. There's enough chocolate to to enjoy for a whole month, practically, if you ate it in pieces. She ate the whole thing and then some out of the basket.
Yeah, but she was so cute when we caught her and confronted her. And that's another thing when we're talking about, you know, that's one good example of that your family extends further than the DNA. I absolutely adored, I still adore Doris. I think of little things that she's done. And Art, when he escaped one day and I had to find him and he was way down the street and I had to walk him back home, and he came into the house and Nick was sitting in the, standing in the garage waiting for us. And Art walks in and he goes, "Boy, you should have seen it. I got way down the street that time." Did you hit him or did you hug him? I mean, he was so proud of himself. And, you know, Nick, I'm so grateful that you introduced me to your parents and you had enough trust in me to say, "Hey, you know, you're in my life now. Here's my parents."
Yeah.
And they definitely mean a lot to me, and there's a lot of things that they have done throughout the years that makes me smile and kind of makes me cry, because, like, I'm staring at the photo right now, the family portrait of you guys, and they're so cute. And one thing that also goes with this is, Nick, you reached out on Facebook. We could not afford to bury your mom, and, you know, we didn't want, and she wanted to be buried by her family. So you reached out on Facebook, you went to the community, social media, and everybody helped out a lot. And I know that.
Yeah, just I thought about it. I talked to a couple of people that were telling me, "Well, why don't you find another cemetery that's cheaper, this and that and stuff." And it just, I thought about it, and I figured, well, okay, if I kind of just use the force, because she was upset when her sister was cremated. She was saying that because of, you know, religious stuff, and the Bible says do not burn the body, stuff like that. So, you know, and she always, like, talked about stuff like that. So I knew, and you know, on top of that, the big thing, too, was, I mean, they prearranged this in the 90s when my sister was murdered, and they arranged that for both her and, it's funny, they left me out of it, but for my mom, my dad, and my sister to be buried in the same place there. So they purchased the plots. So I couldn't, like, just, you know, and I did look a little bit, and they were, like, the same price or more expensive. And it's like, you know, it was just clear to me, let's just do what the plan was supposed to be and have her buried with my dad and my sister and figure it out. So, and on top of that, too, we were still paying for my dad's funeral.
Yeah.
I mean, back when he passed away, and I mentioned it on Facebook and stuff, I didn't think of doing a fundraiser. I'm not really used to just asking for money. So I did, like, a fundraiser with selling Halloween 4 books and other things and stuff, and that paid for some of it, but still we had to pay, like, $65 a month until the rest of it, like, $1,200 was paid. And we stopped making payments on that last summer because we couldn't afford it, and we kind of just rode that wave. They would send us, like, bills after bills, call us on the phone, and everything. And then right after my mom passed, I was kind of really shy about talking to anybody at the cemetery because I thought they'd give me a what for. But no, they actually said, "Well, because of her passing, you don't have to pay that anymore. It's all paid up. It's all gone because she's the only one that signed for it." And I went, "Oh, great." So that kind of took that burden away. And it just empowered me to say, "Well, okay, I'll like put up a Facebook thingy. Other people do it." When you go on Facebook, and sometimes Facebook says, "Do you want to start a fundraiser? So and so and so and so contributed for a Facebook fundraiser." Blah blah blah. I thought I'd try it. Never thought that so many people, it amounted to like $3,000 total just on Facebook. And then there were some people that sent checks. There's some people that just went through PayPal. And then on top of that, I was like really trying to sell stuff on eBay, and I was. Like old Sega CD games that I don't use and I can't use, and turns out that they were worth something. So together with everything, I didn't have to sell my car. I didn't have to go through great lengths. It just all pulled together.
Yeah,
well,
I didn't expect that at all. I'm really grateful.
That's a reflection of how people feel about you, Nick. That's just their,
how
they really feel about
you, man. Look at how many people that you've inspired over the years.
Yeah.
Okay. Just from being yourself. I mean, just from reaching out, and look at the smiles that you've brought on people that have met you at the conventions. I mean, that alone speaks for itself. So, you are well loved and respected, and so I'm honestly I wasn't surprised, not in the least.
And let me tell you, I hope I'm not being biased, but I got to tell you, he deserves it because he is, without a doubt, one of the sweetest, funniest guys. Everybody's telling me, they're like, oh, I want to talk to Nick, but I'm so afraid of him. I'm like, you're afraid of Nickerdoodle? I mean, come on. He's like the nicest, funniest guy you'll ever talk to. He takes time, and you know, and you are in the pool. He's doing
I
this
am
in the pool. So we definitely want, and the St. Mary's Cemetery, John, who was the guy, the funeral director, who helped us out with this. He went to great lengths also to make sure that this would go as smooth as possible. Like, he found a coffin that would be financially...
Yeah, like an $800 coffin, and all their coffins, they showed me the... It's almost like a menu. They showed me what they had, and the cheapest that they had was like $1,700 or something. So kind of went to other places and took a look around. So that was neat. So, but I mean, they couldn't, as far as like any kind of charity aid or anything. I just, especially when that happened to my dad, I was kind of a little bit like PO'd at first because they couldn't help find like a charity. They're the Catholic Church. They're supposed to be all about, well, you know, poor people charity stuff, But no, because my family wasn't Catholic. We didn't have a parish or anything. They couldn't help us at all. So it's like, damn.
Jeez.
So I think that back in 1995 or 6 when my parents made this arrangement, things were a lot different back then. There's like more cemeteries now and stuff. But anyway, like I said, I mean, all three of them are together, so that's what counts.
Yeah.
They were really nice this time too. It was just really up to me, so I just had to figure, okay, that's what I told him too. I suppose I'll figure something out. I guess maybe I'll go on Facebook and see if I could raise the money. And so he said, well, okay, you'll do that. You could do that.
Yeah.
And it did.
Yeah. And you have to admit though, okay, you know. And this is probably one of the best way to look at things is that no matter how often we always look at either the horror movies or we even write to the horror stories, the one thing that's always the scariest is when you look at the prices for burial plots and prearranged burials.
Yeah.
That's probably the scariest thing out there.
Yeah,
I could see why.
I told Nick, if something happens to me, donate my body to science. Give me the science. That's not me anyway. I'm not there.
She wants to be donated to science.
Hey, I can cure cancer one day. You never know.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
No.
Never mind about that.
My body parts, they might end up in the wrong body and end up being a Frankenstein's monster or something, you know?
I was just going to say that. Watch Victor Frankenstein take over, sign off on the paperwork.
I'm not Frankenstein. I'm Frankenstein.
Frankenstein.
Hey, look, Francie's back.
Guess who's back? Back again. Francie's back. Tell your friends. Yeah. So, Tom, you, I know you got some stories.
Well, heck, last night I was with some four guys from high school. We've been friends for, God, I've been out of school for 43 years, and you're friends before then. So, I'd say 45-year friendship that we got together. They're the brothers from other mothers, as we call ourselves. We have a fireball shot when we get together, and we make new memories because we've had a lot of water under the bridge, so to speak, and a lot of history and all that. And we get together, and we end up singing everything from Sweet Caroline, from Neil Diamond, to TV show theme songs in the bar. So, I mean, we have a, we try to get together at least four or five times a year. Last year, you know, we were talking, and it kind of made us appreciate it more. It says, but who has a friendship that lasts this long, and we get together periodically throughout the year? I mean, last year kind of we stayed in touch, you know, Facebook, emails, phone calls, but it wasn't the same as being there. And the same goes, I come from a large family. My mother had 9 brothers and sisters, so I had a lot of cousins. I mean, you figure we all have 3 kids. They all have 3 kids apiece. But, you know, 2 to 3 apiece. And so we had like 36 cousins and, you know, thereabouts. And, you know, we're more like friends than family. I mean, us guys, we played ball together. I mean, we had a few barroom altercations where we all stood up for some of our female cousins that were in the bar a couple times, and we took care of business when we were younger. So we've all had each other's backs. So it's like, you know, we also have a family fantasy football league where we just get together, and we started it just because we're too old to play sports anymore, and we've been doing it for 20 years, and this is just the excuse to get together. So my family is one of them, you know. The only difference between our weddings and funerals is a few less drunks. We just kind of, you know, but we missed that. And it's like, we're slowly starting to get back together, friends, family. You know, I always said I had family that's like friends and friends that are family. So that kind of mentality, you know, it's like God bless me with people in my life. I might not have a lot of money or looks or fame or anything, but I did get blessed with people. And last year, that was the toughest part. I mean, I know losing people was the worst thing that could happen and everything. And we almost lost a second cousin that was younger to COVID. But to me personally, the toughest part was not seeing and sharing, you know, times and stuff with the people that you're close to and love and hang with. I mean, that sounds kind of serious and mushy, but that's the truth. It's like, man, that was... I go, if I had to go through it again mentally, I don't think I could, you know, no, I can't do this. This isn't, you know.
Yeah,
so,
most definitely.
You know, so in other words, it's a safe bet to assume that you probably would not be the best choice to be a caretaker for a mountain resort hotel.
Not in the wintertime if I'm the only one there, no. Nope.
Okay.
Nope. No, not
the
Overlook.
3 months, right?
No.
In the middle of the winter time.
No, not the Overlook. No, thanks.
Okay.
You have about 20. You have about 20 or 30 people there, and we can party once a week, maybe, or something, or have movie night or something. But nope, that would not be me.
I think not in room 237.
This past year has showed me that while humanity sometimes pisses me off, I need people.
Hey, you guys, Tom, you were talking about your friends, and I wanted to play a 2-minute song. And I uploaded this song onto the switchboard. Ron Fitzgerald was on the show. And I told him, I said, I'm not gonna let you know what this theme song is, what our opening song is. And he goes, it better not be New Kids on the Block. If it's New Kids on the Block, I'm hanging up on you. I said, well, maybe it is, and maybe it isn't. So I played this song, and it does kind of go with the theme a little bit. Ron fell out laughing after we played this song. He was laughing so hard. He said, that is the best song ever. And it is talking about your friends. Nick, I'm sure you know what I'm about to play.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
Okay, don't spoil. Here we go.
Hello again. Hey, everyone's playing together right now. Look, there they are.
Whoa, stop. Luna, we can't play if you bite Poofa. We don't ever want to bite our friends.
Don't bite your friends. Don't bite your friends.
We don't bite our friends.
No way.
We don't pull their hair. Friends are our friends. So we treat them with care. So
don't bite your friends.
We don't want to fight.
No way.
Cause that's not right.
No way.
So don't
bite your friends. Don't bite your friends. Don't bite your friends. Don't bite your friends.
Bite.
No.
Okay, roll call tomorrow
morning.
You
can bite everybody else.
Yeah,
roll
there we
call
go.
Tomorrow
That's an oldie
morning.
But goodie.
Roll call tomorrow morning. Who went to bed with that song stuck in their head? That's
yeah.
the roll call.
I'll let you know
morning.
In the morning. How's that?
Yeah, I'll let you know tomorrow.
So, yeah, I thought we would just liven it up a little Frenzy and Friends style and, you know, keep the little good times rolling because, you know, it is a sensitive subject, but it's also, you know, a time to celebrate. It's not, like you said at the beginning, William, we're not mourning, we're celebrating.
Exactly.
I mean, that's
what we should be doing.
Yeah. Now, I will say this much. I do have one other extended family, in a matter of speaking, and it is in a lot of ways. I would say, pardon the pun, but it takes extended to a new level because there's actually an ocean between us. And again, it's one of those things where it's always lots of running gags in a lot of ways. But I have a friend of mine named Cliff, who is actually a Titanic descendant. And he and I have known each other for, just a little bit shy of about almost 15 years. And, you know, basically it's gotten to a point where, you know, not only was able to watch his kids, you know, graduate and move on with their lives. But, you know, courtesy of, you know, Messenger and such, he and I usually chat at least once or twice a week. And, you know, it's funny. Sometimes people will be like, wow, the two of you are always talking for so many hours. You know, is it all Titanic related? And I'm like, no. Well, what else do you talk about? He's like, well, you know, Mars Attacks, The Walking Dead, early 50s sci-fi movies, Buck Rogers, Flash Gordon, you know, the usual stuff. But, you know, so we've already decided that, you know, just between how long we usually spend on the video chat with each other, in one sense, it's kind of like a blessing and a curse, but, you know, that there's the Atlantic is kind of keeping us divided, because Lord knows what would happen if we wind up in the same roof, or even in the same pub. That's for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I guess I was trying to think of a childhood friend. I mean, there was Beth Cruz, who was and still is probably my best friend. We've known each other since we were teenagers. In fact, we got arrested together, and that was fantastic. But I would have to say one person that I have known longer than, that I've kept in touch with longer than anyone else, was my good friend back home, Freddie Gardner. Freddie, we've known each other since elementary school. We watched each other grow up. We went to Red Wing Rollerway together. He asked me to be his girlfriend. I said yes. We moved to Ohio, and then we moved to Michigan before Freddie and I could even break up. And he reminded me. He said, you know, you're my longest-running girlfriend of all time. And I said, huh? And he goes, yeah, remember, you were my girlfriend when before you left for Michigan and Ohio. We never broke up. So you're still my girlfriend. Officially, you're still my girlfriend. And I was like, oh, Freddie, you got to talk, dude. I completely cheated on you throughout these years. And he goes, so did I. But, you know, that was an ongoing joke with us. And one day, him and I, we got into a really bad argument. And I said, you know what, Freddie? I'm breaking up with you. And he just started cracking up laughing. You know, and we were buddies again. We were buddies. We were back to being good friends. And he was trying to ask how he can log in and maybe call into the show, but he'll probably listen to it tomorrow. You know, you guys, East Coast people, it's late there.
Today on Maury, meet Francie, who has been in a long-standing relationship, but was completely unaware about it.
sounds like a Jerry Springer episode.
And his girlfriend at the time, when we were always joking about that, his girlfriend at the time, Freddie told me last night that she always got mad about that, that we joked about that. And I'm like, it's not like we were doing anything. We were just cracking up laughing at each other like, oh, my gosh, you're right. We never did break up. So definitely a shout out to Freddie Gardner. He's been through a lot with us. You know, when my Uncle Carlo came up missing, he was right there at the doorstep with us, trying to comfort us, and just with everything. So Freddie's been a big part of my life. And Freddie, you're probably going to hear this tomorrow. I love you, bro. He's just a good old country boy in the back of South Carolina. He shot his toe off with his shotgun. You can't beat that.
That's just the Asian man.
Yeah.
<You know? laughs> Oh, there's a
bomb. It was funny. He got back from the hospital, and we seen him. He goes, man, I done shot my damn toe off. Like, what the hell, dude?
Start calling
Clyde
Barrel.
I got to get him to call in. Maybe we can get him to call in and let him know how, let him tell us how he shot his baby toe. He said, man, oh, I shot that. I shot it. Oh, yeah. Yeah, one night I was over at his house, and I had Corona beer, and what I didn't know is every time I went to the bathroom, he was taking his tequila, and he was filling up my bottle of Corona, mixing it with tequila, and he said, and I kept wondering, why am I going to the bathroom so much, and yet my beer bottle's still full? Freddie told, and I was sitting there, I was like, oh, my gosh, I am really wasted. And Freddie told me the next day, he said, I could tell the way you drove home. There was puke all over the street. Because we only lived a couple of blocks, and I do remember driving home. I literally had the driver's side door open, and I was vomiting as I was driving through the neighborhood.
Damn.
And we were just two blocks. Normally, you don't drive like that, but I was just two blocks. So, but he says, I could tell how you got home. I see your truck. There was puke all the way. He goes, by the way, you're drinking straight tequila by the end of the night. And I was like, oh, my gosh. What the hell?
One tequila, two tequilas, three tequila, floor.
Oh, I was on the floor. I was on the floor. I was definitely on the floor. And I remember that night I woke my mom up because... Hold on.
Look at that, Tom. You've been reprieved now.
Yeah. Michelle Murray?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Are you... is she going to call
Michelle
in?
What's Michelle saying? Is she going to call in? I don't know.
He says, call this number. I logged on.
Oh,
I even commented through the chat.
Say, check the chat.
Yeah, I commented on her about, because I said next week I'll probably do the show naked.
Oh, God.
She said, LOL, I bet lots of folks. Yeah, tell her to call in. Tell her to call in fast, because we've only got 2 minutes to take her call. Then we'll go into our after show, and I can't take her call.
All right, well,
yeah,
we'll
tell
go
her to call in.
I'll ask her.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It seems like she left the chat room. Yeah, I made a copy. I commented on her comment in the chat room at the beginning of the show because we were talking about the underwear. You gave her the call in number, right?
Yeah, I gave her the call-in number. I'm actually messaging her now.
Cool.
All right, tell her to hurry. Cause I can't think. Let me see if I can extend the show to get her call. I don't think I can, though. Let me see. Yeah, I just got your little ding.
Well, awesome song.
Yeah, I can't. Uh-oh. She's got 90 seconds.
Uh-oh. You're on a deadline.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, I can't extend it. You used to be able to extend them while you were
alone. It's the final countdown.
This is the end, my beautiful. Yeah.
It's the end of Frenchie and Friends as we know it.
Saigon. I'm still stuck in Saigon.
Oh, 60 seconds.
Yeah.
60 seconds. Yeah. She'll be on tomorrow if she calls in, because we're going to still be recording, but she's got to call in.
I know.
Tell her hurry.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yep.
Turn off the lights. The party's over, you know.
36 seconds. Oh, she's about to tell us. 30 seconds.
Michelle, if you're still listening,
call
30
in.
Seconds to call.
Yeah, hi, Michelle.
If you're able to.
Call. Don't be scarred. Don't be scarred. Up, oh, 10. We're going on 10 seconds. Told you.
Nine, seven, six, five, four, three, two, one. Blast off.
Happy New Year. Oh, wait.
Yeah, whatever.
Oh, well. Yeah, Sue didn't. She didn't call in either, right?
You know, we used to have some aspiring comedians call in because we could give them all the bad jokes and it'd be ruined. Yeah, we heard that one a million years ago, you know.
I know.
Oh, I got to tell you guys also, guess who else is going to start back up a show?
Who?
Are you ready?
This is
definitely somebody that I consider my brother from another mother. And here's some clips from him.
I once got to kiss Linnea Quigley on screen. I got a question.
We got an answer.
Oh, well, is Red Snapper a fish or a turtle?
It's a vegetable.
Is it?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't even know that. I thought it was a turtle, then a fish. Finally, it's a vegetable.
Yes, it's a very nice vegetable. You gotta eat it fresh.
Oh, yes.
So the bottom of the ocean, though, you gotta go diving, and you gotta grab it with your hands, and then you come home.
Oh, well.
You gotta be careful, because these are the kind of vegetables the sharks like to eat.
Ooh.
So if you got that kind of vegetable in your hand, a shark might come and get you.
Well.
And yet, another great sound clip for the John Link fan.
Okay. This is a very important question for John, because the last time that we were on the air with John, the last thing that we heard John say was that he was going to stab his brother.
Well, we won, and we won women the right to control their own bodies.
Yeah, that was
the
good
retarded. The retarded bother me. I'll stab you! I'll stab you!
Well, on that note, ladies and gentlemen, I think I'm going to bid you all a fond adieu and prepare for my blizzard.
There you go.
Oh, God, you have a blizzard going on?
Yeah, we're expecting between 20 and 30 inches over the next 24 hours, so.
Oh, I was kind of hoping there for a minute you were going to find a late-night DQ or something, but.
Gotta go prepare for a blizzard, and John has to go stab somebody, so.
Yeah, really, I mean, when you think about it, what's the difference, you know?
Yeah.
Preparing for a blizzard, stabbing your brother, it's all kind of the same thing.
Yeah, it's all good.
Yep.
Okay. John, did you stab Fred that night?
No, mainly because I had forgotten to put my knife in my pocket. The retard shut the phone off. And I was making a very important point at the time.
Two things. That's why I always carry two knives. And the second is, I thought Red Snapper was a venereal disease.
Oh.
Oh, that almost made me choke on my tongue.
No, that whole snapper thing, that was definitely the most popular clip from that show.
Yeah.
When you and Gio were talking about the snapper, and John, the red snapper is a fish.
Oh, it
is a fish.
I said
I
it
think.
To Francie.
Oh, well, I was
think.
Right.
Yeah.
No. Sounds like a sexually action superhero. Female superhero.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Man, we had some great times with John Link. Because, I mean, We literally had no idea that he was going to tell his brother he was going to stab him. What made that a little stressful is that was the second appearance with Craig Spector on our show. We interviewed him, and we did little goof-offs with Craig Spector on the show. And he was like, you know, if you want me back on the show, you got to make the show more professional. So we were having David Lee Madison on the show. And Fright Night, Jeremy was going to be on it. He was in Fright Night. And Jeff, I can't think of his name now. I have to think how Nick said it. But David surprised us with him calling into the show, and Nick was like so starstruck with him. But the little guy from Fright Night. And Craig Spector wrote
Evil
the book
Ed.
For Fright Night, and that's what they were. Jeffrey. And so Craig Spector was great to help co-host the show. And remember, he just said, you guys got to be more professional if you want me back on your show. So I was hoping that this show would run professional. And out of nowhere, John Link wants to stab his brother. And I'm just sitting here like, oh, crap. But Craig Spector and David Lee Madison, man, they pulled that out of their hat. The whole time I'm stressing, and they pulled that out of their ass, and they ran with it, and they thought that was, without a doubt, one of the most funniest episodes ever. And that's why last time David Lee Madison was like, okay, why is this show running so smooth? I am on Francie and Friends, right? Something is going to go wrong. Francie? Sorry, Dave, I'm back. I just had to throw up. He goes, there it is.
Well, I still liked when David Madison had David Lee Roth in there, and you didn't believe him until he started singing from the other phone.
Yeah. In fact, Edward X. Young even posted like all day on Facebook the next day that there's no way that was David Lee Roth. David Madison was like, dude, I don't lie about shit like that. That was David Lee Roth. And what was bad is just like tonight with, you know, us wanting to get Michelle to call in, I was off the air and David Madison was messaging me again on Facebook. He goes, we're calling in, man. Pick us up. David wants to talk on the show. And I'm like, I can't. We're not live. Can you please get me, Dave? So I need to tell David, man. Let me interview Diamond Dave.
Please. Just ask him to call between these hours first.
Yeah.
Oh,
Melanie
yeah.
Robel, when it finally dawned on her, she was like, holy fuck! David Lee Roth just called into my show? And I said, no, Melody. David Lee Roth just called into my show.
Well, it's in the same ballpark, though.
Huh?
Well, it's in the same ballpark, though.
Yeah, I know. I was joking with her. She got the joke. She thought that was hilarious, that's what I might come back. You know, I love Melody Robel. She was actually the very first guest on Francine Friends. She was my number one. And
good
she
Lord,
was
that's
great.
Cool.
And we
That's over 10 years ago, I think.
Yeah. No, it's let's see, Nick and I are going to be together, I think, 11 years in October. 12 years. Wow.
Yeah. Wow.
Over 10 years.
Yep.
Wow.
Yep. I got to know Mama Torrell is what we call her, which is Melanie Robel's mom. Sweetest little lady ever. Love her to death. She now sends me little funny jokes on my Facebook page, which I appreciate every time I read them. I always chuckle. She brightens my day. So keep them coming, Torrell. Melanie, I love you. There we go. See, it's more than DNA. It's a family.
That's true. I mean, you know. You know, I mean, you get to pick who your family is, you know.
And of course, we got the Francie family, too.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, and you guys are my brothers, man.
Yeah.
Honestly, it's like I told you, William, you know, because Tom, you know, he has a life outside of us. He has to do stuff. But you and I, we talk a lot. And, you know, I said, when Nick and I get married, you're both invited to the wedding. I mean, that's going to happen. But I did say, William, you know, I would like for you to walk me down the aisle. My biological father, I don't talk to him. My stepdad, which I actually considered my dad, you know, he passed away. And then I asked Art, and, you know, Art passed away. And I was like, William.
Yeah.
You know?
You could be the flower dude that throws the flowers before you go down the aisle.
Oh, my gosh. You could be the flower. We can call you the flower dude.
Look at that warp.
Oh, my God. Now, I'll tell you what. Kyle, if you're going to be the flower dude, we've got to do this the right way. You've got to wear the pink tutu.
I was going to exactly say that. We can go to the thrift store. We can go to the thrift store.
Up in smoke, huh?
We can go to the thrift store. Nick, are you still with us?
Yeah.
Oh, there he is. Okay, yeah. We can go to the thrift store, Tom, and we can pick you out a little tutu. A little pink tutu.
My mother diss only because I wear my sister's clothes. Do-do-do-do-do-do-do. She caught me in the bathroom with a pair of pantyhose.
Can you imagine whoever's going to be running the photography is going to be like, and now we need the flower child for the portrait.
Oh, man. I know who could do that, who was really getting a kick out of this. This guy, Oscar, he does all the conventions here in Sacramento. I've got several photos with him. Nicest little guy. In fact, we need to get him on the show because he's a great photographer. He does all the photography here in Sacramento with the conventions and everything. Yeah, Oscar, man, he would have a good time with that. What do you think, Nick? Oscar?
I don't know, man. The problem is those internet photos will last forever, man. That'd be haunting me to my grave. And after.
Hey, here you go, Tom. Don't bite your friends dancing around in a pink tutu.
And now, we are proud to present the Pulitzer Prize winning author, Tom Sawyer. Tom, we do have an archive photo courtesy of Getty Images, and a lot of us are baffled by it. Would you mind elaborating on the situation behind the pink tutu?
That was a flower dude at a wedding. What the hell do you expect?
Was it a 60s hippie style wedding?
You guys, this is what we do on our spare time when we're on the phone with each other. This is what we do.
Yes.
Oh, man.
You know, we're normally supposed to be. You know, we're normally supposed to be planning out the concept of the next show, but for some reason it doesn't last that long.
No, it doesn't.
Well, because we ad lib everything. Which is good.
Oh, which, Tom, we put you in charge of marketing, and I understand that you got a couple of people that would like to advertise on our show, which we're going to start doing all that kind of stuff next week, and, you know, you got a couple of people that want to advertise.
Yeah. You know, Save a Soul and Parts Break, yeah.
Yeah, so, you know, yeah, so we got sponsors who's not going to pay us a dime. So, but, you know, We go with it. We're not going commercial.
And we're not sellouts, damn it.
No,
Speaking
no.
Of fart spray,
no.
Do you ever notice how people find... Speaking of fart spray, do you ever notice in movies and TV how women will laugh at somebody farting in movies and TV, but if you do it in public with them, they get offended and upset?
Well, it would depend on what type of woman you're with.
Dude, I would totally laugh. I would totally, like, fall on the floor laughing.
It was so funny when Rodney Dangerfield did it at the table in, you know, Caddyshack. You're not funny. You're terrible. You did it at the table with my mom.
Dude, somebody farts in public. Something else that I noticed, have you ever, next time, you know, you're out in public, and if somebody burps loud in public, people won't curse you out for that. But if you fart in public, I'm not saying a word. Mm-mm.
They will get you funny.
Nope. Don't burp, but you can fart. And I kind of reminds me of the Eddie Murphy joke. Remember the Eddie Murphy joke? I think people want to smell other people's farts. You're sitting there with a group of friends, you're like, oh man, I just farted. Everybody gets quiet and they go, oh man, you
That's
did it, man, what the hell?
Yeah.
The invertible oops.
Yeah.
Oh,
then there's one you don't know where it came from, and you're looking at each other. Who the hell did it? Nobody's laughing about. And usually you suspect it's the guy that starts laughing first, but sometimes they just laugh at him because they're funny.
But then again, let's forget, he who laughs did dealt it.
Yeah.
Doris didn't get it one night. One day I was in the hallway and I passed gas, and I told Doris, I said, be careful of the hallway. There's ducks in the hallway. She said, what? I said, there's ducks in the hallway. Oh, okay. She didn't get it, and I didn't want to tell her. Doris, I farted, okay?
Well, at least you're lucky. You gave fair warning. I have a buddy of mine. He used to, it was classic. Went out to dinner with him and his wife, and he'd always, whatever it was, one of those silent but deadly ones.
Oh.
His were the ones that could knock out, that would make the class of Newcomb High look like Sesame Street. So.
That's two uncles that were like that. Jesus.
You know, because this was a guy who lived on habanero peppers and ghost peppers. So,
he was his ass fire whenever he farted.
Oh, so needless to say, yeah, we're riding home from the Mexican restaurant, and his wife goes to move the window, and she's like, Joe, it's 90 degrees down here. Why do you have the heat on? Oh my God! He walked the windows.
Oh my God!
He's sitting there driving, smiling like a Tsar cat. She's like, "God damn it! Open the window! Oh my God! You're killing us!"
That's
cruel, the unusual punishment.
That reminds me of a story of my dad when I was a teenager. I was probably about 17 at the time, and my dad was picking me up from my theater job. It was midnight. It was cold, and he was in the car, so he had the windows rolled up, waiting for me to walk out. Windows rolled up. Heat is on. I opened the door, and the smell. Now, the thing about my dad is he did not fart often. So, because he was very modest, and, you know, he did not talk about farts or any of that, and I don't know how he got along with us, because we did as a kid, as a family, and I opened up this car door, and this smell, I walked into a brick wall of stench, and I was like, what did you do in here? What died? And he's like, just get in the car. Get in the car. And it was cold outside. It does get cold in South Carolina. I had to roll the window down. My head was sticking out of the window, and I was gagging. And my dad is driving through the parking lot trying to reach for me. This is the first time I ever heard him say the word fart. And this is the only time I've ever heard him say the word fart. But he was grabbing for me. He goes, Francie, get in the car. Get in. Get your head in. People are going to know I farted.
Well,
I'll admit,
as much as I love them, my trigger point is onions. And one night, I mean, around Christmas time, many, many years ago, my mom and her boyfriend at the time wanted to do a little family trip out to go look at the Christmas lights.
Oh, you've seen that.
So needless to say, for dinner, I had green bean casserole with a half a can of the fried onions on top of it.
Ooh. Wow.
About 10 minutes into the drive, I'm sitting in the back seat, and I'm like, I can't hold it. And, I mean, I just kind of just let it rip. And, you know, we're driving through looking at the lights, and my mother's like, oh, my God, why did you eat some green bean casserole? And we're driving through, of all places, Waste Management.
Oh, yeah. My gosh.
It is, so, I mean, it's South Florida, so, you know, what better place to say Merry Christmas and have a whole bunch of Christmas lights would be our main headquarters for the sewers.
So, I passed by one of those on our interstate in South Carolina. The humidity and those sewers, not a good combo.
No, it isn't. And luckily, my mom's boyfriend wasn't even paying attention. So he was just like, oh, no, it's not him. No, it's not William. I would have known. I would have heard it. You're smelling everything from outside. And meanwhile, I'm sitting back there. I'm like, yeah. Yep. Of course.
That's the best time to fart, right there. Right there. I'm passing the doors.
Yeah. Oh, the dog did it.
Yeah, exactly, you know?
I oh my gosh, we went from families to farts. If you fart in front of your friends and your family, then you know your family. There was one time.
Exactly. That's what it's called, sheer comfort.
My nieces, their grandma, not my parents, but Bernice's parents, my nieces, my brothers, well, you guys know what I'm talking about. We were driving their grandma home, and I was in the passenger's front seat. Deb, that was her name. She was sitting behind me. My older brother was driving, and Brittany and Kayla were sitting next to their grandma. And, oh, my gosh, I don't even know where it came from. It was an accidental fart. And it was hot. We were driving down the interstate. The windows were down. That was a really hot fart I did. And I kind of lifted my butt cheek a little bit. And I guess it hit Deb, who was sitting behind me. Oh, you want to cook that tonight?
No, tomorrow.
Oh, okay. I guess it hit Deb in the back seat behind me. And we were passing the Hickory Chicken farms, you know, where they slaughter the chickens. Uh-huh. And all of a sudden, you know, I didn't smell it because it just whipped past me, and it must have slathered in the face because the windows were down. It's just, ew! Something terrible like that chicken plant. And Bernie and Kayla are like, oh my gosh, what is that? And both, it's like it went around the car and then ended with Paul, and Paul was driving. And, oh, yeah, what the hell is that? The whole time, I'm cracking up laughing because I knew it was me. I was like, I'm not saying a word. We'll blame it on the chicken plant. But it was just so funny. I thought it would just go out the window. And, ew!
Didn't get that far, unfortunately.
As soon as she said that, I was like, oh, boy. And it slapped everybody in the face.
But that's when you quote the immortal words from the Kentucky Fried Movie. Still one of my favorite films of all time. The mother of all questions. Christ, did a cow shit in here?
Okay, here we go. Worst fart smell ever. I'm going to lay it out there. I would rather smell the rotten egg fart, any kind of fart, even what is it called, a shark. I would rather smell one of those. Do not land a sweet and sour fart. Have you guys smelled those? Where it's sweet and it burns your nose. I mean, it singes your nose hairs, and it goes way into the back. Oh, I hate those. Those are the worst. I told Charlie about those, CJ. I told CJ, Nick's son, about sweet and sour farts, and he never realized that those even existed. And I said, CJ, haven't you ever had that somebody farted around you and it burnt your nose? And he's like, oh. I, like, opened his world. And he's like, you know you like sweet and sour farts. Oh, my gosh. We were talking about family to farts.
I got a story that has a family in that. I had an Uncle Bobby, and he was legendarily bad that way. And we were playing baseball, and I'm out in deep left field, so I'm the farthest point away from him when he's up to the plate to bat. And he's notoriously drank beer, ate deviled eggs and cabbage rolls, and, you know. He was a chemical weapon. They could have won Vietnam if they hung his butt out the plane and let him crack them all. But anyways, he lets one rip. And I swear to God, it cleared the whole field for about a good 15 minutes. And I swear to God, after deep left field, I could smell it out there. And it's like, I swear, after that, there seemed like there was a haze over the field. You know, it was just like, damn. You know, that stopped the ball game, all right. It's a good thing it was a family get-together.
Global warming.
That probably kept the sunlight out for a little bit, for all I know, but...
Well, you're lucky on that one, okay?
This is like in the early, middle 60s, man. I was like, damn.
Yeah, you're lucky because I ended up getting the direct exposure from the atomic bomb, in a matter of speaking. And that would be courtesy of my 110-pound puppy, Archie.
Ooh.
Oh, my gosh.
I love him, and you know, he's my little sidekick and everything else, but... He sleeps under the covers. He has his own little blanket and pillow on the bed. So he actually sleeps under the covers and everything else. And one morning, he ended up flipping himself around. So his head was facing the foot of the bed. And I found this out the hard way because I had rolled over, and I was holding on to the back of his legs. And my nose was in one of the worst places you can ever imagine. And I was still completely fast asleep until I heard, and right up my nose. And I just opened it up, and I'm like looking at the tail, and I'm like, oh, God. There goes breakfast. Oh,
yeah.
I had a dog.
Complete cough and everything else.
I had a border collie mix. Dog. And I'm telling you, I was trying to lay down and take a nap, and I noticed that Max, he was still a puppy, so he was inching closer and closer to my face, and I'm like, what are you doing? He was inching his butt to my face to fart in my face. And when he farted, he got up and walked out of the bed, and I'm like, dude, seriously? And he was looking at me with pride. Like, yeah, I did that. I'm telling you, he literally backed his butt up into my face to fart. So close to me that I could hear him. And it was
maybe he's trying to keep you warm.
Face.
Oh, oh my gosh.
You see, that's puppy way of saying welcome to the family.
Oh my gosh. I woke up. Oh my gosh. I jumped out of the bed. I was like, oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. Because my nose was burning. And there's my dad. What happened? I was like, Max backed his butt up into my nose and he farted. And my dad just rolled off the floor. He's like, you deserve it. You deserve that. And I had a little Shih Tzu mix when I was a teenager. And she always slept under the covers. Yeah, got her good, though. Oh, she was a great dog, though. Oh, my gosh, I love that little dog. We called her Snickers. She would talk on the phone. People would call the house just to talk to my dog. I'm like,
wow.
Hey. And they're like, oh, yeah, we want to talk to Snickers. And all I have to do is... Snickers, telephone, rah, 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 rah. I even called into a morning talk show, a morning show. They were doing stupid pet tricks. I was like, you know what? I'm going to do it. So I called in and I said, my dog likes to talk on the phone. They're like, oh, don't be ridiculous. And I said, no, seriously, she does. And they're like, okay, well, let us talk to your dog. And I said, Snickers, telephone, rah, 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 rah. She's like right there in it, in the receiver. And I let her talk for a little while, and I put the, and I can hear the host going, no, Snickers, Snickers, wait, Snickers, Snickers. I was like, Snickers is not here, but you can hear her still in the background. And they were like, what are you doing? Are you beating your dog? I said, no, that's what she does. I was like, look, Snickers telephone. They're like, this is, I should have won, but somebody actually brought their dog into the studio and they put a biscuit on. Everybody that listened to the show that I knew, they were like, man, Snickers won that contest hands down. She got robbed. They said she should have won.
Right.
But they brought a dog into the studio. But here's the story. She always slept underneath my covers with me and right at my torso area. One night I did have to pass gas, and I was like, okay, Snickers is down there. Oh, my gosh, I'm going to hold her underneath the blankets. So, farted 2 seconds later. She's trying to get from underneath the blankets. She's biting me through the blankets. I finally let her out. She's yelling at me. Arr, arr, arr. And she bit me on the cheek. She jumped out of the bed.
Wow.
She was
mad. Hey, Francie, if we were able to go back in time and make a meme like a picture photo of Snickers farting and your reaction to it, we could put on the bottom of it, Snickers is so satisfying.
Oh, oh my gosh, well, that would be perfect.
That works.
Oh, man. Oh, I didn't even think of that. See, that's why he makes the big bucks.
Yep.
But, hey,
well,
ooh,
there's always a method of the madness.
Yeah. I've been listening to a lot of world music lately, just random world music, and just getting used to a lot of songs from, like old records from Egypt and stuff that I would just come across on YouTube and download a lot of whole entire sets and albums and DJs playing them. And it's really neat because most of my life I kind of go through a phase, then I graduate, and then I go through another phase. Different things, and music is one of them too. I would listen to just about everything in one genre for like a good few years, and then kind of get bored with it and go on to something else. So lately, it's like the world music stuff. Anyway, there's a song that I keep walking around the house singing to Francie, and it's a song from Brazil. I don't know what they're saying because I don't speak Portuguese. My grandmother spoke fluent Portuguese, so but I don't really understand it. But sometimes when you hear a foreign song, you don't understand the words, but you like the song and you play it. After a while, sometimes in English you make up words that
yeah.
It's what it sounds like, and I do that all the time too, like funny, like, you know, variations of what I hear. So there's this song, it kind of sounds like a guy that works at a zoo, and he goes to take a break, and in the refrigerator there's a jar of there's supposed to be like different jars of stool samples and things, and he takes the peanut butter and he eats it, and he finds out I ate the monkey poo-poo. And I go around the house singing, I ate the monkey poo-poo.
Nice.
And another example of this, too, friend, speaking of my mom and everything, I kind of find humor in everything anyway. So even sometimes when I'm supposed to be depressed, I kind of, like, just talk about hamsters or screwy things. But I came across this one song. I think it's a Turkish song. And it just has, like, one word, mama. So this was, like, about two days after my mom died or something. And I heard the song, and I went in the house, and I told Francie, you got to hear this. It's a good tribute to my mom. Makes me think about her. And so I bring her out into the garage, and I play this guy singing, mama, 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 mama. And he, like, burps in the song and just...
I was going to say, Nick, there is a second verse.
I thought that it was hilarious.
Second verse, David's the first.
It almost sounds like manamana.
Yeah, it does.
Which, by the way, we're not going to do political, but did you guys see that remake that the guy did with Donald Trump doing the phenomena? Phenomena?
Yeah. Oh, I didn't see that.
You're talking about that one with him and Hillary Clinton having a debate, but they dubbed the words with the song Phenomena. So that was
funny.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Tom, you're going to get it on your wall tonight. It is,
okay,
without a doubt, one of the most clever videos ever.
It's amazing, it's amazing what they could do with some of those things, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and he was right on cue. It whenever that ma-ma-ma, and then ma-ma-ma, whenever they did the lyrics, it was Donald Trump right on cue, and Hillary was mad at him, and everybody was mad at him, and he's just sitting there, ma-ma, you know, doing his thing, and he's all happy. It's a great video. Now I want to watch it.
Oh,
I also go around the house singing, "So Francie Samba, So Francie Samba, Francie, 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 So Francie Samba, So Francie."
Well,
songs
I've got a nice, fun little risque reggae song for you to look up. It's from Barry and the Bookbinders, called "She Grabbed My Coconuts."
It's
hysterical song, but you know exactly what they're talking about.
Wow. I love songs like that.
Yeah, me too.
Speaking of Jamaican, I don't know why, I still love this song. Pass the Goatee on the left-hand side. It took me a long time to realize what they were talking about. They were talking about a joint. Maybe it's because it was kids that were singing it. Pass the goatee on the left-hand side. Do you guys remember that song?
Of course, who doesn't?
I know. I had no idea that they were talking about marijuana. And I was like, oh, wait, they're from Jamaica. Smokey Bobby.
Oh, that's that song. Okay, I know what you're talking about now.
Yeah.
It sounds like a little kid singing it, and I couldn't make out the words.
Yeah, past the joint on the left-hand side. Because what do they say? A joint is a left-handed cigarette.
Yep.
So you got to pass the dochi to the left-hand side. And I didn't even know that a joint was considered a left-handed cigarette until somebody explained it. I was like, they're passing a joint. The sky's just opened. I think I just smoked a joint.
But then again, though, lest we forget the ultimate one of them all, Puff the Magic Dragon.
Oh, yeah. One of the most honest moments in movie history was when Robert De Niro was playing Puff the Magic Dragon on the radio.
Yep.
And Ben Stiller had to say, you know what he's talking about, don't you? He's talking about a dragon. What is he talking about?
No.
Robert De Niro was so, he's just a brilliant actor. There's no way around it. Gotta love Robert De Niro.
Well, I have nipples too, Bob. Are you going to milk me as well?
I grew up on a farm. I had a little teeth. I grabbed a little teeth and go, and after that movie came out, how many people say, I'm watching you? And they do the pointing at the eyes and they stare. You don't even have to say, I will take you down. I will take you down and find you. He was brilliant with that stuff. All right, we got to wrap it up because you guys are on the East Coast, and I let's wrap this up.
Okay.
Wrap that up.
Nick, is there anything you want to say? Any big announcements?
Well, not big announcements. That's going to be coming up this week. Everybody that pays attention, just keep checking out the Black Bedsheet Books group page and official page on Facebook and blackbedsheetbooks.com, downwarden.com. And there's new books coming out. I'm working on our first one of the year. Actually, and to be honest, over the years, I would kind of like jump through hoops, go through things in my personal life that have affects Black Bedsheet. I don't think anything really has affected it like this last thing quite has. But I've been coming out of it, and work is like starting to actually, you know, get me away from stuff too, like it should. And so David Gretzky's new book should be coming out just this week. And then just boom, 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 more books after that. Big thing, though, is I did an hour-and-a-half interview just this last Friday night, and it's out now. So I'm going to post it on my page. I'm going to post it on the Black Betchy Books group page. It's been posted on Horror Nation already, but it's from a podcast called, Riffing on Horror. Riffing on Horror. And so they were really neat. And it's actually, I think, my first Zoom video podcast. So you actually get to watch me talk. So it's really neat. I'm going to try to see if I could cram that into my schedule more, doing Palmcast, especially now that I got the Zoom thing understood and all that. I figured it all out, how it works, and because I'm old-fashioned. But that show kind of taught me a few things about that, so I'm going to be doing more and going around promoting my stuff and Black Bedsheet Book stuff and everything onwards and upwards. So, yeah,
cool.
It's pretty much what's going on.
Excellent.
Nice.
Well, definitely lots of new goodies to look forward to, without a doubt.
Yeah. Yep, definitely.
I think that this is it's been a great show. I think the after party it goes to show that we all do have chemistry together. You know, we can talk about partying. And everybody loves Nick. We decided that one.
But
definitely. Without a doubt.
Without a doubt.
Nick, he's our man. He can't do it. No one can.
You know what was cute? What was cute? When Nick would pick me up from work and I'd be waiting outside with all of my other employees that I worked with, and they would see Nick coming to pick me up. Everybody that was around me, they see Nick, and they're like, Nickerdoodle! Everybody called him Nickerdoodle when he came to pick me up at work. And Nick just smiles, and he waves.
Yeah.
I love you, Nick.
Oh, I love you, too.
Aww.
So Francie Samba, so Francie Samba.
But I'm saying...
There's this also, there's this Indian song from India. It's actually on a soundtrack album that I have from Bollywood hits, horror Bollywood hits. And one of them, it's like, I don't know, like 8 minutes long or something. And when Charlie comes over, we try to tickle Francie because that's what it sounds like it's saying. In different parts of the song, it sounds like it's saying, tickle, 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 Francie, hey. So we kind of make it a ritual, like we would, like, march around her chair that she's sitting in, and then when it would say that, we would, like, attack her